Good morning. Welcome to week five of online church for our family here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship and others who are watching this. How y'all doing? Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying safe and staying home and, I guess, staying away. Thank you very much for watching our online church services. We appreciate everybody who watches these, and then some of you are making comments or you're liking the page or you're even sharing it. So thank you very much for being a part of this. We greatly appreciate it. Let's talk about spiritual warfare today. We really are facing another type of warfare in our world today, aren't we? This epidemic with COVID-19 is really a war that our leaders are waging. It's an invisible enemy that we are fighting. We never saw this one coming. It's claiming lives and it's changing lives. Today I want to talk about spiritual warfare in this context. My text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the classic passage on spiritual warfare. But I want to illustrate spiritual warfare by taking you to a familiar text about church life, another passage in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This passage says, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This passage of Scripture is a clear exhortation that the church needs to be together. Well, you know, the devil knows Scripture, and this specific text he knows about. And today, worldwide, we are literally experiencing an inability to do what this text calls us to do. We cannot assemble together. As we look at the Scripture and look at the circumstances we are in, I wonder, is this circumstance that we're facing, this war that we're facing, this pandemic we're facing, is this accidental? Is it coincidental we can't be gathering together? Or could it be a scheme of the devil? I propose to you today that this is evidence that we are in a spiritual war. Now, let's understand something else. The victory belongs to God. 1 John 4:4 reminds us, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So it's amazing in this battle that we are in how the church worldwide is working hard to combat this crisis. We have technology today to do online church. We're able to make phone calls with the people in our church families. We're able to do email and Zoom and Skype, and the list goes on and on of how creative churches are in trying to minister to the needs of their congregation and trying to evangelize at the same time. We're still trying to connect with each other, in spite of the fact we cannot assemble together like we would like. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is preceded by the verse that says this, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Praise God, we still can do that. The Church of Jesus Christ is doing that in amazing ways today. But my friends, please take heed. We are in a spiritual war. What do we do? How do we face this spiritual war? What does the Bible say to us in the midst of this? Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 is a very familiar passage that I think we need to take another look at today. This text encourages us and warns us in our warfare. And I'm going to read this text as my message progresses, and I have 3 points to communicate to you today. The first point is in verses 10 through 12. It is this: we are in an all-encompassing spiritual war. Listen to the text. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers of darkness, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." This passage begins with some great encouragement. Verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." As I studied commentaries on this passage, it seemed like most commentaries flew right by that verse. But we need that verse. That verse establishes the setting. The battle belongs to the Lord. We find our strength in the Lord. We are weak, but he is strong. This is our key to success. We need to be on the Lord's side. He is the creator. He is the redeemer. He is the sustainer of our life. He is on the winning side. We will find our strength in him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. That's tremendous encouragement. And then the first part of verse 11 gives us some more encouragement. Put on the full armor of God. We need to wear his armor as we go into this battle. And when we wear his armor, we will be able to stand firm and not fall. In this spiritual battle, we start with God and we wear his armor. That's great encouragement for what we're about to see. Our starting point has to be God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his armor, in strength of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We have one enemy, and that enemy is the devil and his demonic forces. People are not our enemies. We need to understand that. People are victims of the enemy. We're in this spiritual battle with spiritual forces. If we could literally see the demons around us, we would faint with fright. They are real, and they are evil. They are rulers, powers in this world, force of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness from heavenly places. This war that we are in is an all-encompassing war. It affects every area of our life and ministry. Nothing is exempt. When God is at work in mighty ways, please understand, Satan ratchets up his temptations. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 reminds us, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith." Amen to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. "So that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." The devil, Satan, is a terrorist. He has schemes to fight against us. What are those schemes? Well, let me give you a list. The word devil starts with the letter D. This list, each of them begins with the letter D. This is what the devil wants to do to defeat us. He throws doubt at us. He wants us to question God's word and God's will. He will throw disobedience at us. The devil wants us to disobey the word of God. He will throw discouragement at us. The devil wants us to be overcome by our crises and the problems and the temptations so that we lose our confidence in God. He will throw despair at us. He wants us to live in a sense of hopelessness. He will throw deception at us. The devil wants us to be confused, questioning what is true so we believe lies. He will throw division at us. He wants to divide people. He wants to create disunity and tension. He wants to see mistrust amongst family members, community, leaders of our nations and our governments, and even confusion in our churches, division. And then he throws disease at us, caused by man's sinfulness. Where in the world did this COVID-19 even come from? Why and how did this disease shut down our world in spite of all of our advanced knowledge, technology, and resource? How did this happen? And then the devil will throw death at us, unnatural, murderous taking of life. Those are a number of things that the devil uses as schemes against us. The Apostle Paul summarizes them well. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So that's the description of this warfare, this all-encompassing warfare. Now, what do we do? What's our hope? Well, that's the second point of this message, verses 13 through 17. We must wear the armor of God. Here's some tremendous encouragement. God takes care of us in this battle. He provides for us in these spiritual battles. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, verse 13 says, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Here it is listed again, the full armor of God. There's two benefits of this armor. Number one, we will be able to resist in the evil day. No temptation can destroy us. God is stronger. We are reminded of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which tells us, but with the temptation, we'll provide a way of escape. Whatever temptations the devil throws at us, God will provide for us a way of escape. Praise God. We're able to resist in the evil day. And the second thing is, we're able to stand firm. We're able to be solid in our faith. We're able to completely trust God. And then, from verses 14 on, he talks about what the armor is. This is an amazing set of equipment that we have. There are five items of protective gear that we are provided for. The first one is the belt of truth, verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. The belt of truth. The belt of truth holds up the armor. We need to be people of the truth, honesty, and integrity. Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44 reminds us that he is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We counteract that. John 17:17, God is truth. Sanctify them in truth, Jesus says. Your word is truth. God gives us his truth. We need to wear his truth as our belt and our armor. When we speak, we must speak God's truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that's the belt of truth we can wear. The second thing in this passage is the breastplate of righteousness, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. This protects our hearts and our vital organs. We are to live a righteous and holy life. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This protects our integrity. You and I live a holy life. That is part of the armor we need to wear. The third thing in this passage is verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As we walk in this world, walking in his commandments and running from sin, we need to make sure that we wear the gospel of peace, ready to share the gospel, change conversations of spiritual matters. We need to get past the weather and the sports and the disease and the politics. 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us, always be ready to make a defense of the hope in you with gentleness and reverence. Do you share your faith in some way? Do people know that you are a believer? Make sure you wear the shoes of the gospel of peace in this battle. The fourth thing that we are given is the shield of faith. Verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith, that's out in front of us. That is movable to protect us from the devil's dangerous arrows of temptation that he throws at us at all times. And because we're Christians, we can resist. And these arrows that he throws to us are not just arrows, but they're fiery arrows. They're literally from the pit of hell itself. But our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a powerful force, powerful shield. When we are tempted, do we resist in Jesus' name? Do we claim the power of his blood over our temptation to keep us from sin? And then the fifth protective gear we're given is the helmet of salvation. This protects our head. Satan is after our mind. He wants to put doubts and fear in our mind. He wants to deceive us. But the Holy Spirit lives within us. And Romans 12:2 reminds us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put all this together. When we are living godly lives, we won't be prone to doubt and disobedience to God. We won't be prone to be discouraged or to discourage God's people or live a life of despair. We won't be deceived in the falsehoods, and we won't be divided. No disease can destroy our souls, and death is not a defeat. It's just a corridor to heaven. We can live the armor of God in protection against the schemes of the devil. That's how we are strong in the Lord defensively. But wait, there's more here. What do we do offensively? This is the third point of my message. We must aggressively fight with the Word of God and with prayer. Again, the last phrase of verse 17 and verse 18. After we put on the helmet of salvation, then we put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our offensive weapon. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. We have one offensive weapon that is very vital, very powerful. It is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was tempted, he could have resisted Satan with a lot of different miraculous means, but instead he simply drew up the Scriptures and used the sword of the Spirit. He did what you and I can do, use God's Word to defend ourselves and to defeat Satan. Simply use Scripture. Many, many years ago, I heard the famous preacher Dr. E.V. Hill speak. Dr. E.V. Hill was a black preacher from Los Angeles, California, well-respected pastor, well-known pastor, very dynamic speaker. And the message I heard him give was about the temptation of Jesus. And he said, what did Jesus do? I'm paraphrasing here, but what did Jesus do? He would hit the devil with the Bible. When the devil comes after you, you hit him with the Bible. You hit him with the Word of God. That's what we can do as well. We can hit the devil as he attacks us with his schemes. We can hit him with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is not an ancient book meant for the bookshelf, but a timely and a timeless book meant for the believer's self. So when we're tempted by lust and immorality, we can hit the temptation with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, which says, flee immorality. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Praise God. When you're tempted by greed, you can take out the Bible and you can hit this temptation with this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a griefs. That's what we can do when we're hit with greed. When we're hit with deception, believing lies, we can hit that temptation with 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. If you are truly disciples of mine, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. That's how we defeat the temptation of deception. When you are tempted by discouragement or despair, 8 different times in the New Testament we are told to encourage one another. We can hit that with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, reminding us that we need to be together so we can encourage one another. When we are tempted to break up relationships and destroy relationships that we have, we can hit that temptation with Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Praise God for that. When you're tempted to throw away your marriage or your family, you hit that temptation with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 1, an extensive passage which says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you're tempted to create problems in the church that you're a part of, Hit this with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Also chapter 12, verse 25. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Praise God, we can defeat that temptation. And when you're tempted to forsake the church when this is all over and not be a part of the church anymore because you've gotten used to staying home, when you're tempted with this, you hit that temptation with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Whatever the temptation is, you hit it with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's your offensive weapon. The Bible is your weapon. Read your Bible. Know your Bible. Learn the Bible. Use the Bible. Hear the Bible taught and preached. Maybe one of the advantages you have on this Lord's Day, as you listen to this message, maybe there's other messages you're able to listen to online as well. Maybe you can listen to a lot of different messages today. The Bible is our sword of the Spirit. Know your Bible. Love your Bible. Learn your Bible. Live your Bible. We can quote the Bible to God for our strength, and when the devil tempts us, we can hit him with the Bible, the sword of the Spirit. That's our offensive weapon. And then we have one strategy, and that strategy is prayer. Verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray like you've never prayed before. Billy Graham's quote of saying, "The prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian." One of the quotes I read this week goes like this: "Hell's legions are terrified by prayer. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees." In this war of terror, Christ is our commander in chief. We are his soldiers. The Bible is our manual for the battle. And prayer is our two-way radio. We can resist evil, and we can stand firm in our faith in Christ with these weapons, with these protective gears that we are given. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." 1 John 4, 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." If we could see the captain of our faith and his holy angels around us, we would fall in humble worship and joyful gratitude that we are on the winning side. We are taken care of. We can live in victory. We can see the devil defeated in our lives because, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. When my wife and I go shopping, whether it's in Colfax or Newton or Altoona, one of the things we like to do, whether we go to Walmart or Fairway or Menards, we like to run into people we know. That makes the trip worthwhile. In fact, if we don't see anybody we know on our way home, we kind of say, well, we kind of wasted our trip. We didn't see anybody we know. Well, today with this social distancing going on and people are encouraged to stay at home, it is rare when we do get out to even run into people we know. And that's disappointing. We sure miss church on Sunday with our church family. We sure miss being together and assembling together. I hope you do too. I hope that maybe that saying is true: absence makes the heart grow fonder. I hope that's the case. But folks, what's going on around us is not by accident. This is one of the devil's schemes. This is spiritual warfare. But let me remind you so clearly again and again and again what the scripture says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's God's great news for us today. And may God keep on blessing you. Have a great week. God bless.